cue music.
And action!
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk with your 790 KABC. Peter Tilden, the 10 begins right now. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit In Sleep. He'll beat anyone's advertised price or your mattress is free. I've got Psychedelic Furs tickets, and you should listen this hour to win a $25 Norm's gift card and qualify for your shot to roll like a VIP in Las Vegas. That's coming up. I'll tell you when you should call. And of course, your phone number, the phone number here to be part of the conversation, 800-222-5222. And I'd love to hear from you if you think this is a tipping point with these students that are doing the protests. There are quite a few protests coming up. The Never Again rally, the two marches in March that are coming up. The town hall tonight. And by the way, as I understand it, there'll be a representative from the NRA at the town hall tonight. So it should be an interesting town hall. But I'd love to get your opinion on this phenomenon with these kids who are showing up. Because they have something to say, and a week ago, they were sitting in their school, just students, looking at the dreams, their futures, their dating issues, their job issues, and today, a week later, they've been thrown into this, to no fault of their own, through our fault, because of the school shootings continue, and we have to wrestle with what the reason. And we have to have the dialogue, and yet in Florida, the House of Representatives refused to debate, which made the kids down there pretty upset. Christine Ember joins us now, opinion columnist at the Washington Post. Good morning, Christine.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what's your take on Washington and how they're handling this? You know, I'm looking at these pre-voters for them. I mean, these kids are not that far away from voting. They're being really vocal. This generation is...
They feel like they're experiencing some positive...
Oh, I lost you there.
Hello?
Yeah, there you go. I lost you. You went in and out for a second.
Oh, yeah. No, I heard I heard something else, actually.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, I think it's fascinating. It's kind of crazy to watch, and for me, it's hard to tell exactly where it's going to go. I mean, look, you have this situation. I mean, this shooting in Parkland was... horrifying. It was a massacre. I believe it was perhaps one of the largest shootings in a school since Sandy Hook, at which 20 students died. And Sandy Hook, sadly and, you know, disgustingly, those were children, little children, who are not equipped necessarily to take on Congress or to take on legislators. But at Marjory Stoneman Douglas, these are high schoolers, 16, 17, 18, old enough to have firm opinions and to be composed enough to share those publicly. And I think that their witness, their open grief and their willingness to talk about what they've seen and what they want to happen is very unusual and was kind of unexpected and may actually begin to change the conversation because we're seeing them everywhere and we're seeing their witness. We saw their tweets as the shooting was happening. We've heard them, talk about how their best friends were killed next to them, having to witness people being shot in their classrooms. Like that, I think they're really bringing this story and this problem to life and, to the people in a way that hasn't been done before. And they are also not just talking about themselves, but they've really kind of gone out of their way to point the finger, frankly, where I think it belongs, to legislators who have failed to protect them, at the president when he, you know, sends his thoughts and condolences, you know, and these teens tweet back, we don't want that. We want you to fix this problem. You're the grown-up. And I think really focusing that responsibility is also kind of a new thing in our discussions. And I'm cautiously optimistic, maybe, about what changes this will make.
Well, and you wonder if the tipping point, you know, this generation is criticized for not being political enough, for being apathetic. They're not going to show up. They may show up.
Mm-hmm.
They may show up in big numbers. And again, it doesn't, usually after shooting, unfortunately, a week or 2 weeks later, everything kind of dies down. It limps off mm-hmm. into the sunset and all the debates and all of the talk and all the emotional words are gone. This time, because they've got rallies planned, they've got stuff planned, and again, this group, it's like wildfire. This reaches with social media, they reach out to each other, and I don't know how many cities this is happening, and if every city, teens feel like they need to talk about this or be involved, but I don't know if they're going to show up in elections and if this is going to motivate them to do it. But boy, it sure looks like they're active right now and they're calling politicians to listen. Now, I know the president tonight has a listening session with high school teachers and students. So I know that that is happening. And, you know, you're looking at a student in the eyes who's been through a tragedy. It's hard to ignore and it's hard to not listen to their fears, their worries, and what they're living in, the world they're living in now, and how they perceive it. It's pretty stunning. So yes, we will see where this goes. Now, the next question I had for you is, the president attacked Jeff Sessions. He did a tweet, if all the Russian meddling took place during the Obama administration right up to January 20th, why aren't they the subject of the investigation? Why didn't Obama do something about the meddling? Why aren't Dem crimes under investigating? Ask Jeff Sessions. So it appears, I mean, we had read stories and heard stories. They were in the outs before, and there was a story in one of the books, and I forget which one, about the White House, that said Sessions had to be talked out of his car by Reince Priebus, because he was quitting. He was going to hand in his resignation. And then Reince Priebus, the next month, I think in June, was told to get rid of Sessions, and Priebus said, no, it's going to start a series of events where Rosenstein could quit, the woman below him could quit, and it's going to be a nightmare. Where is this going to go with Jeff Sessions now? I mean, he's really sticking it to him. And by the way, you know, as far as confronting Russia, we're still not hearing the confrontation with Russia, but he's going after Sessions at this point. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon.
Interesting is one word for it. I think it's kind of totally absurd. The relationship between President Trump and Jeff Sessions has been fraught, one might say, I think from the beginning, basically. One thing that has been, that we've noticed and is quite odd about Donald Trump, it sort of fits in with his personality, is that he doesn't seem to have a very clear understanding of what the president's role is and what the role of other cabinet members and officials should be. He kind of thinks that everybody he appointed or works with is somehow supposed to report to him and be super loyal to him, and that their job is to protect him. And that's just not the case. And in Jeff Sessions' case, you know, he was a Trump supporter, a Trump stand-in on the campaign trail, and I think that President Trump thought that he kind of had Jeff Sessions in his pocket. And when Sessions recused himself from the investigation at first, which is what he should do, Trump, I think, was really surprised that Sessions didn't actually just step up to defend him. And he said at the time that if he had known that Sessions was going to recuse himself, he wouldn't have even put him in the position, which means that, you know, he thought that Sessions was going to be there to defend him, and he's mad that he's not. And he clearly hasn't gotten over that. And this latest tweet is, you know, just more evidence. He's still, like, trying to push Sessions into doing something for him or make Sessions feel guilty for not protecting him enough. And then, of course, this tweet is also another reflection of his, like, weird fascination and envy of Barack Obama. Everything that Trump does, he tries to compare to something that Obama has done and say that he's doing it better. You know, Obama should have investigated. Like, why aren't we talking about his problems? Why aren't we, you know, lauding Donald Trump and, you know, like, cutting down the previous president, when in fact, like, President Obama has nothing to do with this? This is a Trump problem.
Well, except,
and he needs to deal with it.
Even the Democrats were unhappy with Obama's inactivity as far as Russia is concerned. That said, the president's been in office for quite a while now, and also the implication here is that Obama somehow committed a crime by not going after Russia, which is erroneous. The another fascinating story, a big story, was North Korea. This administration was handed North Korea up to the brink at this point. And we just hear that the vice president, when he was in North Korea, and they kept it pretty mum, there had been an offer to actually meet and talk, discuss diplomacy, which is incredible that I guess we had back channel stuff going on that we didn't know, we weren't privy to. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, no, it is. It seems at odds with President Trump's own stances towards North Korea, including his really inflammatory and sort of unnecessary tweets And also, it seems at odds with the public stance, at least, that Mike Pence was taking while at the Olympics, you know, refusing to shake hands with the North Koreans or be at a dinner that they were attending. It sounds like from reports that these talks were happening, but perhaps North Korea backed out. And I wonder about who else might have been involved in this discussion. I think one thing that has been perhaps troublesome diplomacy-wise in our relationship with North Korea is that the U.S. has seemed so scattered. You know, Donald Trump says one thing, something insulting. Diplomats say another thing. Maybe they want to cooperate or have talks. Meanwhile, South Korea, for instance, is making a pretty clear and concerted effort to, you know, create some sort of reconciliation with North Korea. I mean, China has interest too. It kind of makes you wonder if the U.S. is being cut out of something, some sort of negotiation, and what that, what effect that will have in the long term for, you know, who gets to be in touch with that country and who has the most influence, because that will have huge ramifications for us.
Well, yeah, and the world is shifting. The geography is kind of taking on a new shape and form as China's trying to figure out what to do next, as Putin's trying to figure out what to do next, as South Korea's trying to figure out what to do next. But the fact that they actually had back channels that we didn't know about, and it appeared that we were that close to potentially a high-level official, like the vice president, having conversations with the sister, who I guess is, I forget what her title is, but it's an insane, she's ahead of,
she's the head of the Ministry for Propaganda and Agitation.
Agitation. I love
which
that.
Is totally, there you go. Totally.
Man,
insane.
I laugh every time I see that, because what do? You go to your sister today and say, how many people have you agitated today? You're not doing your job. I mean, how do you define
propaganda?
Yeah, you're really letting us down on the agitation front. But that's a pretty high level. I mean, you're going to the sister and you're going to the vice president. That's pretty stunning.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could have been pretty stunning, but yeah, seems like it didn't happen. So,
well, except that doesn't mean that doesn't mean that they're not plotting and planning right now.
The next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty stunning. The other thing is Jared Kushner. The other big story is that Jared Kushner now is reportedly resisting giving up his high-level access in the struggle with John Kelly. Mm-hmm. And based on the different stories I've been reading, and maybe you have some insight into this, trying to put it together after reading a lot of different and conflicting reports, Jared Kushner is getting to view high-level in intel, and he doesn't have a full security clearance. And John Kelly, after the Porter incident, didn't want to be caught with his pants down. He had a horrible week, or a horrible 2 weeks, with trying to explain how Porter, who was a rising star, a brilliant guy, but because of the punching the wife in the eye and the accusations, allegedly punching out, whatever.
That thing.
He's out of there, and it shed a light on the fact that he didn't have a security clearance. So now Jared Kushner, the son-in-law, doesn't have the high-level clearance. And from what I'm seeing, there's a real war going on within the White House, because Kushner feels like John Kelly has always had it in for him, and he feels like John Kelly thinks he's a lightweight. Although, when you look at why Kushner doesn't have a complete security clearance, it's because every time, I think there have been three or four times where he's kind of forgotten to put stuff on his application. And one of them had to do with Israel and his failure to talk about he was involved in a foundation that funded illegal Israeli settlements and had to do that after the fact. So that would kind of make sure, that would be the check the box that you don't get a security clearance. How is that going to play out at this point? Because you got the president involved, it's his son-in-law, it's family. Who's going to win?
Yeah, exactly. This raises one of the most interesting and I think problematic questions about the Trump administration and how things work at the White House. Normally, I think, in an administration and presidency, there are sort of clear lines, right? I mean, there's a president, there are his officials who are usually experts in their field and have been appointed to their roles because of their expertise. And so normally they have been checked. They have background clearances. They have backgrounds and history and experience in their roles. In the Trump White House, however, it seems that all of the positions are kind of filled by Trump family members who may or may not actually be qualified for the roles that they have and may or may not have the correct security clearance. Jared Kushner apparently is, I guess, supposed to be handling so much of our diplomatic policy in international relations with other countries, but is like the most forgetful guy in the world, since every time he fills out a form, he forgets to disclose something. But, you know, these people are still kept in their roles because they are in some way related to the president.
But it's not risen to the...
It makes it really...
It's not risen to the level where we're all watching it because of the Porter situation. And I also read in a lot of reports that people didn't want to draw attention to the Porter issue because they felt that it would then shed a light on the security clearance, which would then shed a light on the fact that Jared Kushner doesn't have the security clearance, and it would blow up. So now we're there, blow up.
Yeah.
Is it a push and shove? Is that what you're hearing, too, between Kelly and Kushner?
I mean, yeah, it sheds light on the fact that, you know, kind of the whole situation in the White House is in disarray, more than you would think. It's really hard to tell what's going on there. From reports sort of, you know, leaked out of the White House from sort of confidential and anonymous sources who have spoken to reporters at the Washington Post and elsewhere, there is some enmity between the two. Obviously, Kelly says that it's not a problem. Their friends and Kushner says it's not a problem. But yeah, I mean, the announcement that Kelly made on Friday that they were going to be reviewing security clearance and then pulling back security clearances or short-term security clearances for people who had not had their full-time security clearance approved by June 1st is an interesting one. And some said that Jared Kushner thought that this was kind of directly targeted
right at him, right?
because he was one of the people who, because he forgot to disclose something, still hadn't had his full security clearance in by June. But John Kelly released another statement that noted his confidence in Kushner. And basically said that this wasn't meant to target anyone.
Got it. I hadn't heard that. Okay.
We'll see.
But he's either going to have to get a security clearance or not at this point. I mean, he's either got to be given one to continue or continue in his role without, and then people are going to be pressing Kelly to say, how come? So we're at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, the security clearances, even once we move forward with this new clearance procedure, many of them will still sort of be at John Kelly's discretion.
Right.
So it could be possible that he'll just give him one, or that he won't, and it won't necessarily be a regulatory thing. It will just be up to John Kelly and whatever he thinks and whatever he wants to do. And no one really knows at this point, but Kelly himself definitely seems stressed and under a lot of responsibility to make it look like things are proceeding along the correct way.
Yeah, he doesn't want another. He doesn't want this to explode in his face. Christine Ember, thank you for being on Opinion Columns at the Washington Post. It's WashingtonPost.com and the Twitter at Christine Ember, EMBA. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And
thanks for having me.
Take care. And don't forget, it is big tonight, and we'll be broadcasting it, the town hall, because you're going to have students there, you're going to have administrators there, you're going to have the NRA there, and it's going to be an interesting, I'm sure, emotional town hall, and we'll learn a lot about the feelings and emotions on all sides of this issue and see if they can come up with some listening and some solutions. And again, the president's going to be meeting with high school students and teachers in a listening session this afternoon with Vice President Pence to try and determine. These students are, they every day have to put up with this. And when you read how many reports of students across the country in the last couple of years have gone to the administration and said they've seen somebody with a gun on campus, the numbers will blow you away. 800-222-5222 if you want to comment on anything you just heard. Lots more to talk about when Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues, giving you a chance to roll like a VIP in Vegas, which includes, ready, 2 upfront tickets to see Jennifer Lopez during her residency at Planet Hollywood, 2 nights in the newly renovated rooms at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, dinner at Cafe Hollywood, a gas card, and spending cash. Pretty cool. So be the 7th caller right now on our new contest line, which is 888-790-5222, to win a $25 gift card to Norm's and get in the running to roll like a VIP in Vegas. And good luck with that. Coming up, I want to talk a little bit about the Florida House refusing to debate guns but declaring porn dangerous. I want to get your take on that. And also, this supporter, a Trump supporter, was told that she was touting pro-Trump events that were coordinated by Russian trolls. That the FBI determined they were definitely Russian trolls. They got her, and I will play you her response because it's just, it's, you will love this. It's a once-in-a-lifetime response. We'll do that next after your calls. 800-222-5222. We'll be back right after the news.
KABC News is live and local at 10:31. I'm Jeff Whittle. Some of the students who survived last week's deadly shooting at their high school in Parkland, Florida, are in Tallahassee today, urging state lawmakers to enact gun control legislation. Shooting survivor Alfonso Calderon says he's still recovering from the traumatic experience, which killed 17 classmates and teachers.
I'm supposed to be going back to school in less than a week, and I'm not ready. I don't think anybody here is ready. I don't think anybody here is ready to go back to class and just have an empty seat. And you know that empty seat is because someone's dead. Because somebody lost their lives.
Now, tonight at 6 p.m., Stoneman Douglas High School students and the NRA will participate in a town hall on the shooting that left 17 dead in Florida, and you can hear it live right here on KABC. A man was seriously injured early this morning in an apartment fire in Valley Glen, which was sparked by his bedding, which was too close to a wall heater. The man, who's in his mid-50s, was taken to a hospital for treatment of smoke inhalation and burns to his hands and feet. The cause of that blaze considered accidental by the L.A. City Fire Department. SpaceX's planned launch of a Falcon 9 rocket from Vandenberg Air Force Base in Santa Barbara County was scrubbed just before this morning's blast-off due to high winds in the upper atmosphere. So the Hawthorne-based SpaceX has rescheduled the launch for 6:17 tomorrow morning. The rocket will carry two satellites into orbit as part of a planned worldwide internet system. And Lauren Gibbs, an alumnus of Westridge School in Pasadena, won an Olympic silver medal today in women's bobsledding. Gibbs was the break man. She was also a long jumper, triple jumper, and volleyball player at Westridge School. Now, Germany won the gold, Canada the bronze in that women's bobsledding event. And Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. So now at the Winter Olympics, U.S. tied for fourth place in the medal count with 16, including 6 gold. Norway leads the medal count, though, with 33. L.A. Kings down the Jets 3-2 in Winnipeg for their third straight win. Kings now tied with Anaheim for third place in the Pacific Division. The Ducks will host the Dallas Stars tonight. Clippers visit the Warriors tomorrow. Lakers visit the Mavericks Friday. And that is sports on the home of the L.A. Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more. Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time is 10:34.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Psychedelic Furs give you a chance next hour to win those tickets. But guess what? Congratulations to Ann and Artesia. She won a $25 gift card to Norm's Where Life Happens. She's in the running for a trip to Vegas. For Jennifer Lopez, All I Have, the final residency running now through September 29th. Your next chance to win at noon with Dr. Drew and Lawrence Savon. And congratulations to Ann, who said she's never won anything in her life. So congratulations. I just saw a poll while I was sitting here that said 62% of you think it's inappropriate for Jared Kushner to have a role in the White House. 800-222-5222. Do you agree with that? And 76% think Russia meddled in the election. So that just happened, and I didn't get to see who did the polling, which may affect that, but kind of interesting. Don, good morning. You're talking to your 790 KBC. What do you want to say?
Peter, hi. Great talking to you, as always. You know, it just really makes me sad when I heard one of the spokesmen for the young folks, the kids, and he comes out with all this canned rhetoric, and if you belong to the IRA, it's a badge of shame, you're enabling. There's all this. You know, it's very disturbing because I remember I was on the other side of this when I was in high school, early in college. You know, it was the Vietnam War movement. And all the kids were all upset because we're afraid we're going to get sent to Vietnam and fight. And so left-wing organizers come in with all this pre-digested talking point rhetoric, and you basically led along. And so we all went along with that. We opposed the war, so fine. We pull out of Vietnam. We completely cut them off, and more people got killed, more millions of people got killed after we left under communist rule than got killed during our nasty imperialist war.
So you think that the kids during the Vietnam War were coached, that they weren't against the war, that wasn't a genuine thing? Because I think a lot of them were genuine, and I don't, as far as this coaching.
Of course we were, but we were wrong.
Of
course we were genuine.
Well, a lot of people would disagree with you about that. But getting to this at this point, So when you see these kids who are articulate and saying the same things over and over again, because, you know, on the internet now, there are YouTube videos where they're showing stuff where they're saying these kids are coached. They're not being genuine. As a matter of fact, Dinesh D'Souza had to apologize. He actually took shots at the kids saying, how interesting to hear students who can't support themselves for one day giving us lectures about American social policy. And he also said a student appeared coached and also a bit deranged. The worst news when the House in Florida decided not to take up, not even debate the assault weapons ban. The worst news since their parents told them to get summer jobs, attacking these kids. You don't think these kids are genuine? You don't think these kids who were sitting in school a week ago, innocently being students, worrying about tests, worrying about girlfriends, boyfriends, etc., you don't think they're freaked out at this point and that they want some change and that they're genuine? You think they're getting coached?
I think they're genuine in their fear and their anger. And, you know, what they should be is time and again, these killers are on our radar. Everybody knows about them. In this case, the students even joked about this kid that committed the murders being the most likely to shoot up a school. And law enforcement ignores it. The system doesn't ping. That's who we should be focusing on.
You know what, Don,
killers from their guns, not demonizing the
you know I'm going to address that. You're breaking up. But I'm going to address that if you listen right when we come back as far as the mental health thing. Because a person involved in the mental health system wrote a great piece. And I'll pass it along. I wasn't going to do that next, but it's important. I'll do it. And always a pleasure talking to you, Don. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Peter Till the 10 continues. Craig, hold on. I'll get to you. And John, hold on. But I did promise Don, the last caller, about the mental health system and the issue of stopping mass shooters. Not saying we can't change it, but this person wrote a great article on the fact that she was a mental health expert, and she was confronted with a 21-year-old guy who was in the crisis unit, which she worked as an emergency psychiatrist. Parents called the police after seeing postings on his Facebook page that praised the Columbine shooters, referred to imminent death and destruction, his community college, and promised his own day of retribution. His brother reported to the police he had recently purchased a gun. So he comes in, had no history of mental illness, said he didn't need any treatment, and her job was to evaluate him. So she evaluated him, and she said he didn't have a psychiatric problem. It was more an anger issue. And the fact that in California, you got to be a danger to yourself or others because of mental illness, and then they could admit you to a psychiatric hospital. So he had written about shooting, but he denied being suicidal or homicidal, never heard voices, never got messages from the TV, admitted to having been bullied and was resentful of classmates who seemed to have more thriving social and romantic lives, but he adamantly denied he would be violent toward them. She could have done a hold or not, and because there were no delusions, and again, she could treat delusions, mania, self-injurious behaviors, auditory hallucinations, but there are no reliable cures for insecurity, resentment, entitlement, and hatred. So if she had committed him, he'd be prohibited from buying a gun from any federally licensed retailer. But she had to decide what to do with the patient. She decided, I'm going to admit him, but he was released by the hearing officer 2 days later because he never took any meds, never reached the threshold for a federal firearm prohibition, and left the hospital in the same state. He's probably not going to seek out therapy. But illness is rarely a cause for such violence. She said it's usually angry young men who harbor violent fantasies. And that was that situation and why it's just not so easy to stick somebody away. I have some thoughts about it that we can discuss next hour. And there are some ways that you can tackle U.S. school shootings. There are some things we can do if we can all agree on, and I'll throw them out to you next hour and we can participate in that. And Craig, John, I'll try and get to you right after we take a brief break here. And I do want to talk about the Florida House refusing to debate guns but declaring porn dangerous. We'll do that also. Lot to get to, and don't forget we got the psychedelic first tickets too. The phone number, 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. The phone number, 800-222-5222. You can be part of the conversation like Craig in Granada Hills. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, good morning, Peter. Good show.
Thanks.
So, regarding your poll on Kirshner and meddling in the election, everyone knows there's meddling in the election. Obama administration, State Department gave $350,000 towards the election to put in to overthrow, get Netanyahu out. Also, regarding Kirshner, people just don't get it. We wanted someone to come in and kick the tables over and shake things up. It's not proper that Kirshner be in there. We want the best guy for the job. And, you know, that's where we get hung up, is people look at People's Pass, all the good guys, who would want to run for office and help this office?
So let me ask you a question, Craig. And by the way, yes, we do meddle in other countries, but you remember, it's do as I say, not as I do. We're trying to spread democracy there is the way we frame that. That said, we don't want Russia meddling in our election. We don't want your vote to count. As far as Jared Kushner, you think he should be in the job or you think he shouldn't be in the job?
If he's the best one for the job, if he's making progress.
So let me ask you, do you think he's the best one for the job?
You know, you got to trust the people you put in there.
Okay, so here's his, let me just tell you, let me give it to you in bullet points if I can. So his background is that he went to an elite college, graduated, went to his family's business because his dad went to jail. He ended up investing in the National Observer, which is now almost out of business. It's just online. And the other thing he did was bought 666 Fifth Avenue before the market crash. So they're $1.4 billion in debt and they could lose the whole family business. So those are the two business things he's done. So with that, that's it. That's all we know about his background. With that background, I'm just asking you based on that, getting emotion out of it. And I'm not trying to tilt you either way. I'm just saying, is that a guy who should be doing our Middle East peace policy, who should be trying to streamline the government, who should be doing the things that he's there to do without a security clearance? Is that the best guy?
He's not the treasurer, and all that depends upon is if he can get people together. His main thing is to make things work in the Middle East. If he's a good negotiator, if he can bring people together and make progress.
I'm not trying to bait you, Craig, but I'm saying if you were the head of a company and you were presented with this as an employee, and they said he worked for his family's business, that's his major job, he bought the National Observer, it is now just online, and that he bought this building and it's coming due, the $1.4 billion. That was it. That's his experience, his background. Would that be somebody that you consider, or would you keep looking a little bit?
I would look at the whole thing, and like one says in the past.
You're breaking up. Craig, I thank you for calling. Anybody else wants to weigh in on that 800-222-5222? Because it is fascinating. And now, Kushner's at it with the John Kelly, the chief of staff. There are stories that they're not happy with each other. And what's he going to do as far as the security clearance? Lots of other stuff to talk about. 800-222-5222, and we'll continue right after the news.